From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. All this week, we're hearing about some of the issues that divide America and the prospects for finding middle ground.
Well, we made some progress on changing the tone. I'm disappointed we haven't made more.
They certainly want more moderation.
Government does not have to be gridlocked.
Democrats pledge civility and bipartisanship in the conduct of the work here.
Our series is called Crossing the Divide. Today we turn to a matter of business and public policy, profit and environmental protection.
10 corporate CEOs have teamed up with some major environmental groups to try to jumpstart efforts to fight global warming. These strange bedfellows are urging the federal government to limit greenhouse gases. Their proposal came on the eve of tonight's State of the Union speech. NPR Scott Horsley has the latest in our Crossing the Divide series.
It's one thing when the head of an environmental organization calls on Congress to limit carbon dioxide from the nation's smokestacks. It's another when some of the people who run those smokestacks are calling for the same thing. That's what happened yesterday when the chief executives of 10 big companies, including General Electric, Alcoa, and Caterpillar, joined four environmental groups in endorsing firm limits on greenhouse gases. CEO Peter Darby of the California Power Company, PG&E, says the unusual coalition has been working on its proposal for the better part of a year.
The environmentalists take a stand that they want to do what's right for the environment, as do we. But frankly, a number of the businesses want to know what the rules will be going forward. And that's created a glue that has brought the group together.
President Francis Beinecke of the Natural Resources Defense Council says when the coalition began meeting, there were a lot of different proposals being considered at different levels of government. The CEOs and the environmentalists thought it would be helpful to agree on a national set of solutions.
Of course, when we went into this, we didn't know whether that would be possible. And, you know, we're very, very pleased with the results that we were able to work together very productively and come to quite specific agreements.
Also at the table was Environmental Defense, a group with a long history of working cooperatively with big business since it helped McDonald's do away with plastic foam burger boxes back in 1991. Environmental Defense President Fred Krupp says in working with a corporation, it's critical to understand the company's perspective, goals, and culture.
I remember telling the president of McDonald's that we weren't going to ask them to use Wedgwood China in their fast food restaurant. We were willing to work within their business realities, but to find things that were truly good for business as well as good for the environment.
Krupp says that kind of partnership has to be built on trust. Companies have to show they're not just looking for window dressing, and environmentalists have to show they value progress over press conferences. Krupp adds, hashing out the details of a plan is easier once there's a common understanding that some kind of change is inevitable.
Many successful, profitable businesses have a great comfort in the status quo. They think that the world's not going to change or that they can deny that change is happening. We find, though, that the better managed companies are the ones that realize change is all around us.
For the companies now calling for cuts in greenhouse gases, the science of global warming has become compelling, and so has the likelihood that some kind of government crackdown is coming. If that's the case, PG&E's Darby says it's better to act now, before the problem gets worse, and it's better for his company to have a say in how the crackdown occurs.
If we are dragging our heels and opposing people that are trying to deal with this issue, they're not going to let us have a seat at the table. But if we're constructive, if we help them, then we gain credibility with them and we have a way of developing the most practical and pragmatic solutions to the problem.
To be sure, business lobbies like the Chamber of Commerce and the National Association of Manufacturers are still fighting greenhouse gas caps. And some environmentalists will complain the caps endorsed by Darby and Company don't go far enough. Those who reach out to traditional adversaries often have to do some hand-holding to keep traditional allies in the fold. But Krupp, the environmental defense president, thinks there's room for more of these unconventional alliances, so long as the environmental payoffs are real.
In not every case is there a win-win solution, but what I've found in 22 years of doing this sort of work crossing the divide, if you don't look, you're definitely not going to find it.
Krupp adds, if big business and big environmental groups can agree on a plan to fight global warming, maybe Congress and the White House can do the same. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
Our series continues tomorrow on Morning Edition with the rise of the independent voter. You can find out more at our website, npr.org.